Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 51% of humanity and 53% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote for nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, legal, economic, and environmental arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI management, staff, volunteers, sponsors, or Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart with Ebony Johnson at the controls. Hi, Ebony.
Hi, Sharon.
And today we are going to talk to the Unplaza Art Fair guests who are in the studio. We have a young artist, 9 years old, that we'll be interviewing. And then after that, we'll be talking to the Women's Political Caucus about the annual torch dinner that's coming up on September 16. And I understand there's still time for tickets for that event. So we'll talk more about that later. And right now, we'll go to Ebony with the news.
Thank you, Sharon. As many celebrate Fashion Week in New York, Women's E! News highlights Delaina Parrish, a 2016 High Honors graduate of Tootsville, Florida High School, and a current freshman studying marketing at the University of Florida, who also happens to have cerebral palsy. She takes on adaptive fashion. Delaina states, "I can't even write my name while sitting at a table, but on the floor, I can sketch the designs I create in my head on paper. My designs were more than pretty. They gave a good fit, a crucial component of fashion. But getting this to a level I was proud of wasn't easy. In fact, I nearly quit the Fashion Academy because of the toll those numerous fittings took on my body. My CP forces me to concentrate on one task at a time, and my muscles don't allow the flexibility to dress independently. I can't just throw on a shirt and pants. I have to tell my arm to go through the armholes and head, then be helped to stand up and try to balance while someone is tugging up my pants. Those struggles gave me a defining perspective for my future designs. Ease of dressing. It's time for acceptance of others with unique bodies to be represented in women's fashion. And I am thrilled to be on this journey for all girls and women to feel proud and beautiful in what they wear." Women's E! News reported September 8th. Christine Todd Whitman, who is head of the Environmental Protection Agency under George W. Bush at the time of the 9/11 attacks, told the public air around Ground Zero in New York was safe to breathe, has admitted for the first time she was wrong. Among those who were exposed to toxins released when the World Trade Center collapsed, the toll of illness and death continues to rise. Speaking to The Guardian for a report on the growing health crisis to be published on Sunday, the 15th anniversary of the attacks, Whitman made an unprecedented apology to those affected, but denied she had ever lied about the air quality or known at the time it was dangerous. "Whatever we got wrong, we should acknowledge, and people should be helped," she said, adding that she still feels awful about the tragedy and its aftermath. "I'm very sorry that people are sick," she said. "I'm very sorry that people are dying, and if the EPA and I in any way contributed to that, I'm sorry. We did the very best we could at the time with the knowledge we had." She added, "Every time it comes around to the anniversary, I cringe, because I know people will bring up my name. They blame me. They say that I lied, and that because people died because I lied, they say people have died because I made a mistake." The Guardian reported September 10th. A U.S. Court of Appeals on Friday blocked an effort by Alabama, Georgia, and Kansas for voters to furnish proof of citizenship when registering at the polls, which opponents say disenfranchises voters, especially minorities. The decision effectively strikes down a rule that requires voters in the three states to provide proof they are United States citizens. Elsewhere, voters only need swear that they are citizens in order to cast a ballot. With just weeks to go before a critical presidential election, We are grateful to the Court of Appeals for stopping this thinly veiled discrimination in its tracks. Chris Carson, president of the League of Women Voters, which had sued to block the new requirements, said in a statement. Supporters say tougher rules help prevent fraud, but in-person voter impersonation on Election Day is virtually non-existent, a 2012 study at Arizona State University showed. Opponents, mostly Democrats, say the rules discriminate against minorities. The Appeals Court of the District of Columbia said the League of Women Voters had shown there would be irreparable harm if the rule was permitted, and had also shown it was likely to win the case on its merits. The court ordered any voter applications filed since January 29, 2016, to be treated as if they did not contain the proof of citizenship instructions. Alabama and Georgia, which passed provisions several years ago, have not implemented their laws, while at least 20,000 voters in Kansas, where the law took effect in 2013, have been blocked from registering to vote, the league's lawyers say. Reuters reported September 10th.
Just when my blood pressure gets calmed down, I listen to her read the news what's happening all over again. I'm trying to bring myself down a little bit here. Okay, couple of items there really angered me. First, let's talk about who our guests are today. The Unplaza Art Fair. We have Jane Stover, a Julie Bond, a potter, and a young artist, Haley Selmayr, and she's 9 years old. And then second, our guests, we have Rebecca Richardson and Barb Womack with the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, and we'll be talking to them shortly. But first, let's start with the Unplaza Art Fair, Jane Stover. I wait every year for this art fair because I rush there early in the morning because I want to see all the things before everyone gets first pick, because I try to get first pick.
Sharon wants the best.
Yeah.
We wait for you to come, Sharon, and we welcome you every year. This year we're going to be at All Souls Unitarian Church at where Walnut and Warwick meet, and so it's 4501 Walnut, just east of Main in Kansas City, Missouri. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday, the 24th and 25th of September. So it's coming like 2 weeks from today. We'll be out there.
And that's just right across from the Kemper Museum?
Kemper Art Museum.
Kemper Art Museum. Okay.
Yes. And on Saturday, we have longer hours. We're open 10 to 6 on Saturday. Sunday, it's only noon to 5. And many people, like Sharon, try to head out and check everything over on Saturday. But we have found, too, that some of those look, and then come back and get a steal on Sunday.
Yeah, I've been known to be there 2 days. I have been known to do that. Let's talk about why do we do the Unplaza Art Fair, and for how many years have you done that?
This is its 26th year. It started in the yard of Corva Murphy, and she and many other Pieceworks people realized that we needed to have a fundraiser, and artists were extremely generous, and by now we have about 80 artists come. It's spectacular, and these are local artists. We call it the Unplaza Art Fair for two reasons. We capitalize the U and N, and many of us wish for solutions through such an agency as the United Nations instead of the jump to the gun or the jump to sometimes really punitive negotiating strategies that we see our country making.
Because this is sponsored by Pieceworks.
This is sponsored by Pieceworks, and 26 years ago was our first fair, and this funds many of our projects, and right now we're currently highly focused on the new nuclear weapons parts plant in Kansas City, Missouri. We had an excellent demonstration out there on Memorial Day, and I may get back to that later. We also work against drone warfare. It is terrorizing citizens in many parts of the far East, the Mideast. And we are also in support of Chelsea Manning, who many of our readers know, formerly was Bradley Manning, is serving a 35-year sentence at Fort Leavenworth. And so we are one of the closest peace groups that speaks up on behalf of Chelsea. So probably more on these things later.
Okay. And Julie, you and your husband have been at the Unplaza Art Fair for, did you say? 12?
Yeah, I think this is going to be our 12th year. So we've been there for a long time, and we have developed quite the following at the Unplaza Art Fair. We have people that come to see us every year very regularly, and we love the Unplaza Art Fair. We do very well there, and we've always enjoyed being a part of it.
And a part of the proceeds goes, of course, for having a booth there, back to the Peaceworks group for the work they do.
Yes, so we like the fact that our contribution goes to that lovely cause.
And there are, gosh, like Jane said, 80 artists there from fabric art, jewelry, pottery, paintings, which brings up, I believe, our next guest, Haley Selmayr, the 9-year-old who, is this your second year at the art fair?
Yes, it is.
And how did you happen to get attached to the art fair, or the Unplaza fair?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. So, me and my mom were looking for new art shows to attend, and we came across the Unplaza Arts Fair. We decided to check it out, and once we did, we found out that it was a great show, and we're going to do it again.
Ah, well, and in order to do it, to continue doing it, I think there is, you have to sell, I think there is sort of a limit, maybe, and we can't say any limits or anything, but I mean, the artist has to be successful to be invited back.
Actually, we have a lot of space on the All Souls grounds, and so typically, unless there's some reason to reject an application, typically we are accepting the artists that apply, and we are delighted to have a wide range of art, like Sharon mentioned, some woodworking, some leather work. We have soap makers. We have many people making jewelry. We have a broad array of different types of art.
Birdhouses. Oh, I was so intrigued with those birdhouses last year. Yes. And so how did you, at 9 years old, or you must have started last year at 8, how did you develop your art? What kind of art do you do?
Well, I do a lot of different styles of art. I do beach scenes, mountain scenes, a swirly art that I call a wishy-washy. I do flowers. I do some small mixed media birdhouses, hearts, coffee cups, and I also do the big coffee cups.
Well, how long does it take you when you sit down? How do you get an idea for what you're going to do? I'm a thwarted artist.
Well, it's really, I figure out what I'm planning on doing, and then I decide what colors I should use, and then just go from there.
Okay. So you get an idea, like you'll see a bird, and you'll think, I'd like to paint that bird.
Well, no, I don't really do animals or real things. I'm more of an abstract painter. I just think in my mind, what am I in the mood to paint? Like, if I'm kind of in a warm, settling mood, I might paint a coffee cup. If I'm in a lively mood, I might paint a heart.
Okay, that's fun.
Fantastic.
That's fun.
Yeah. Do your friends know that you do this and that you exhibit at the Unplaza Art Fair?
Well, they know that I am an artist, but I haven't told them about the Unplaza.
You might want to tell them. They might want to come see your art.
Maybe in the future I will.
Okay. Well, Julie, you know, I have bought so many of your pieces in the past, and I come by every year and I look at them and I think, what would I do with it? So I have to tell you that I probably am not going to be a good customer for you, because I had to pass up last year too, because unless I break something, which I don't intend to do.
Well, we have lots of new stuff this year, Sharon.
I'm afraid. I know it. It's so beautiful.
Right. All of our work is so functional that we come up with new. We have travel coffee mugs, so you can bring them into the station with you this year. We have berry bowls. We have lots of new functional forms this year that we haven't had in the past. So you might be surprised.
Oh, I might have to buy something. Yeah.
Julie, you mentioned before the show we were talking, and you mentioned berry bowls. What are berry bowls?
Well, we have two different styles of berry bowls. We have it's basically like a miniature colander where you can rinse and store your berries. And this year I have a new one that has a little handle on the side and just the holes on one side so that you can rinse your berries in the sink, over the sink, and then when you put it back up, all the water goes to the bottom of the bowl so you can just serve your berries that way. So we have two different kinds of berry bowls. And then we have larger colanders that people use for fruit or they can use it as a colander or a strainer if they like.
Yeah, I'm getting psyched up here to come to the show.
It makes it even more intriguing to come when you know that you can also purchase functional art pieces and make your kitchen and home and whatever even more decorative, but able to use them.
We definitely enjoy functional work. We have very few things that are purely decorative.
Nice.
So we like the idea that everything is able to be used.
And it also should be mentioned that it is quite ironic. The Unplaza Art Fair sort of also stands for art you can afford.
Yes.
Because and nobody local could get into the Plaza Art Fair either. That was another problem, I think.
Well, as the Plaza Art Fair began many years ago, I think it took more local people. And my husband knows of one gentleman who had worked at the Plaza Art Fair for about 20 years, a local, and then he was invited not to come. And so there was a natural opening for us to begin having the local artists. And of course, we didn't start with 80. We started maybe with 25. I'm not sure. But artists have been extremely generous and coming out, and it's just a joy. There is a wide range of prices. There are big paintings, there are small paintings, there are note cards, there are elegant sculptures. One year we had a person bringing furniture. There's just a wide range, and it's upbeat. It's like a laid-back atmosphere. People are having a good time, and so it's a different tenor from usually the sort of chaotic Plaza Art Fair. We encourage people, if they are at the Plaza Art Fair, consider coming across Maine and coming up to All Souls and visit us, too.
Yeah. How do you select the artists that display at the Unplaza Art Fair?
Unless some artwork is objectionable and would be offensive to some people, we take all comers. We have been welcoming all of the artists, and the artists have been extremely generous.
Mm-hmm. So for future reference for someone who may be listening that this is their first time hearing about it, if they're interested in next year, should you continue on, how would they go about applying or contacting you?
In the spring, we post the application online at peaceworkskc.org. And it's very easy to find where the application is. The artist applications are due by July 8th, typically. And then we look through all the applications and we contact the artists. We also give the artists little promo sheets because they indeed are promoting the Unplaza Art Fair. They want their buddies to come and buy. And so it will be posted at peaceworkskc.org.
And all artists, including ages, are welcome, clearly, as we have Haley.
Right,
so you
right,
can
right.
have someone, an adult, fill out the application for you for parents who are listening.
And I might mention also, the reason we started doing the Unplaza is because for artists just starting out, they're often unable to pay big entry fees.
Mm,
so the fact that the Unplaza takes a percentage, so if you don't sell a ton of work, then you don't have to, you know, put a big investment into your show.
Yeah, nice.
Right. Some other fairs may have a $300 fee for even being in the fair. We ask people to submit $25 and 5 pictures of their artwork.
Okay.
And then if for any reason they can't be part of the show, or we tell them that we can't accept their work at this year's show, then we return the $25.
Oh, wow.
So $25 is extremely reasonable compared with most artists' fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and then do you all rent all the tents that are up?
No. The artists bring their own tents or tables. Different artists have, like, the palace of a tent, and that's protection from the sun and protection from the rain. Typically, in late September, we have been free of rain, and so I'm thinking that with the recent rains that we've been having, we're getting it all out of our system, and then we're going to move on to a dry spell for September 24th and 25th, that's Saturday and Sunday.
This is very exciting, just knowing that a young artist or whatever artist, but that you have, it's an easy entryway into being,
yes,
just to your point, being able to share your work and have a place where people can purchase it and you can make some funds and contribute to making a living as an artist.
Right. And we've, All Souls has sponsored us to the extent that they are now offering concessions, salmon sliders and brats and beer and soda, sometimes ice cream treats. They have a whole concession stand going, and they have a quite exciting book fair that goes on inside All Souls. And so we are good partners with All Souls.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's so easy to, for me, when you said that, gave the address, and I thought, oh, yes, because that's right across. I go to the Kemper Art Museum frequently, and so I thought that's just right across from the Kemper Art Museum, so it's easy to remember.
Yeah, I had an experience about 3 years ago, I guess, or maybe 4 years ago now. I bought a painting that I just loved because it matched the colors of my office. And I took it to my office, and I loved the painting colors because it matched the colors of my office. I had it hanging for a year. Took it back to the Unplaza Art Fair, hoping the artist would be there, and traded him for another picture. I talked him into that. I mean, I don't know. And I do love my new picture. I call it Chemtrails. And the other one was a lovely seaside picture, but it was, yes, just kind of blah. This one has some pops of color in it, and it's much better, much better.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Good to know that artists will even... Now, I haven't tried to bring any pottery back yet. That might not be such an easy deal to do.
As long as it's not broken.
Yeah, maybe it'll work. Well, problem is I love my pottery. Well, so what size are your paintings, Haley?
It's depending on what type of painting it is. It can be in different sizes. So maybe a coffee cup can be in a small 6x6 or a 12x12. It just depends on what type of painting it is. Some paintings, like the beach scene, I like to do one certain size, like an 11x14. So it just depends on what type of painting it is.
So you have a beach scene?
Yes, I do paint beach scenes.
Well, I'll have to check out your beach scene this year and see.
And I'll at least have two of, like, every type, so there's a variety.
Okay, good.
Wonderful.
Good.
How many pieces do you plan to display this year?
Well, I'm going to do a lot of new stuff that I haven't done in the past, like paintings of fruit and, like, animals. And so I'll have to think about that because first, I have to figure out how much I want to do of each thing, and then I have to divide it with all the different shows, and it's kind of complicated.
Yeah. All right. I love the way that you have just enlightened us on the process and for yourself.
So you must have a lot of work backed up then. You've been working hard to get some paintings together for this show.
Yes, I have. It's like I work from October to sometime in, I think, April.
Okay.
And then I can take the summer off to enjoy the shows and just be a kid.
Wonderful. And just be a kid? Well, how far do you go for shows typically? I mean, what would be the farthest away show you've taken your artwork to?
Well, I'm actually not sure, but they're all in Kansas or Missouri.
Okay.
Well, I have a question, Haley. What do you do with the money?
Well,
good question.
I put half of it in my college savings, and then after the year is passed, I save the other half, and then I get, at the end of the year, I get to spend it on, like, whatever. I think last year I spent it on going to California in Disneyland.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. I love it. Wonderful.
Julie, how much time do you spend working on your art before you a show is coming up, or the summer? I guess the summer is the time for the shows.
Yeah, my husband and I are full-time artists. We do it every day, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. So we do it every day, all day. And we did take a couple vacations this year, but... But yeah, so we are down in the Crossroads District, so we do the first Fridays every month. So we have a show once a month regularly throughout the year, and then we do various art shows as a bonus show.
Are you saying you have a location in the Crossroads?
Yes, our studio is located on 20th and Main.
Okay, what's it called?
Archival Designs.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Is there anything else anyone would like to say about this upcoming show that we need to tell people about?
We're encouraging people to come and wine and dine with us and cruise. Everybody, look at what everybody's offering, and you will find fabulous surprises.
There probably really won't be any wine there, though, will there?
I know we have beer.
Oh.
I'm not sure about the wine.
Okay, well, thank you to Haley Selmayr, the young 9-year-old artist who is very vocal about her art. She's not at all shy, I will have to say that, a very good radio guest. And to Julie Bond, and we will see you, and to Jane Stover, who organizes this. For how many years have you been the organizer?
Well, actually, there's a whole team of us, and really, Tamara Severance, who's on the board of KKFI, and Debbie Wallen have gobs of contacts with the artists, and they process all the applications and keep answering artists' numerous questions, and so we're indebted to them, but there's a whole team of us, and I've worked with it maybe 8 years, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And tell us one last time when the Unplaza Art Fair will take place and where people can find more information.
2 weeks from today and tomorrow, September 24th and 25th. On Saturday, it's 10 to 6. On Sunday, it's noon to 5. And it's at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, Casey Moe.
And if people want to go for find more information about the upcoming show?
Go to peaceworkskc.org, and you could also call me 913-206-4088,
and give that number one more time in case someone's writing.
913-206-4088.
Thank you.
And now we have some messages, and we'll be back with the Women's Political Caucus.
You're either living with your parents or you're married.
An Orthodox enclave, a polygamous sect, a coven of witches.
You know, it was some guy trying to get me to walk on hot coals so that I could, you know, prepare myself for the UFO landing.
We speak with three people who escaped. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon.
Just recently on Khadija and the White Guy, we had a guest named Andre who told about his story and his turnaround.
We're bent on saving as many young people as we can.
Khadija and the White Guy airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Keep that dial tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
We're back, and this is Sharon Lockhart with Ebony Johnson, and we have Rebecca Richardson, current president of the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, and Barb Womack, past president of both the Greater Kansas City and the State of Missouri Caucus, ex officio of both groups. And this is your which annual?
This is our 25th annual torch dinner, and it's the 45th anniversary of our national organization, the National Women's Political Caucus. So it's kind of a special year for us this year.
And tell us what the Women's Political Caucus stands for.
In terms of values, it's...
what is your purpose?
Recruit, train, and elect progressive women for office. So we're interested in equal rights for women and especially equal place at the table.
Good. That's what our show is pretty much about, 50-50.
And we're a nonpartisan organization, we have been active in this community since 1972. It evolved from the Equal Rights Amendment, trying to get that thing passed back in the day. And it's been going strong ever since. And the Torch Dinner, what it does, like Rebecca said, it's our 25th. But what happens, of course, in the days before text messaging and Twitter and all of that, it kicks off the political season. You know, it's generally 6 to 8 weeks out, which, in the day, the political heyday, that's when campaigns tend to bear down and get going, for the last hurrah. And so it would be well attended, by candidates as well as consultants discussing strategy. It's always a good time of the politics in the Kansas City area, okay?
Yeah.
Well, it's also an opportunity for people who maybe aren't so involved in politics to meet office holders and candidates right in person so they can, talk with them, on a one-to-one basis and learn what they're about, get a sense of what they're like as real people. So it's kind of exciting for the everyday person to come to that and to really get involved, as a first step in politics.
Where is it going to be this year?
It's at a fabulous location, the Boulevard Brewery, which is has a great view of downtown. And, of course, we all know about their wonderful beer. They serve a lot of beer and wine, so you can sample whatever you want. So it's a really fun location, very fun.
And can you tell us who will be there? So for first-time people like myself, this is the first time I found out about the Torch Dinner. So I'm interested in who will be there.
Well, for one thing, we have all of the women who are running statewide on the Democratic ticket, at any rate. There are endorsed candidates. They'll all be there. So it's kind of it's a wonderful year. We have Judy Baker running for state treasurer, Teresa Hensley running for attorney general, right? And Robin Smith is running for secretary of state from the St. Louis area.
And let me just say, too, that I think it's exciting for the Democratic Party. They have a 50-50 ticket. It's three men, three women. We're, not the top spots on the statewide yet, but that, Missouri Attorney General spot is pretty awesome. And, of course, that's Teresa Hensley running. So, and then, should that ticket win, Nicole Galloway is already the state auditor, so female statewide would be dominant.
Well, that would be a first.
It would be a first.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Well, and we also screen and endorse candidates both. We're the greater Kansas City, so we represent both Kansas and Missouri. So we screen and endorse candidates on both sides of the state line. So also there will be our local candidates. So again, if we're, a lot of what impacts our lives are like at the state level. So it's a chance, again, to meet the people who are running and evaluate what their positions are and see what they're up to and see like what, and hopefully you become engaged in their campaigns and support their race.
And I remember I first learned about the caucus myself in about 91 and showed up at address, I think it was on Headwood, and a woman opened the door, Linda McNicholas, that years prior, she had worked for AT&T in Belton, and I had managed a Main Street Deli, and I used to cook hamburgers for her lunch, and I was just dumbfounded when she opened the door, and at that time she may have been chair of the caucus, but it was just really a surprise.
It's where like-minded women kind of ended up.
Yes.
Well, and some of Senator Claire McCaskill with her mother, Betty Ann McCaskill, were some of the people who helped get the caucus started. So Claire McCaskill attended her torch dinner when they used to be held in the basements of churches. So we're very proud to have these women, you know, going from, you know, grassroots level to some of the top offices in the country. So it's very exciting.
I remember hearing Claire McCaskill talking about getting women elected and how women need to prioritize their spending. Like, we would think nothing of spending $50, for example, for a blouse or a shirt or a sweater. And $50 is probably cheap now, because she may have said that over 20 years ago. That they should put their money toward candidates.
Absolutely.
That stuck with me, that women need to prioritize their spending.
And sure, and women need the help. And like you said earlier, we're 53% of the political. And if we write checks, you know, my goodness, mm-hmm. just think what that could do.
The other thing is, and again, about prioritizing spending, statistically, women are known to make 80% of the purchasing decisions in this country. They are the ones who are disposing of the disposable income. And so more women need to, again, write checks to political candidates. And I say that because it's hard with Madison Avenue advertising to us with the clothes, and there's so many diversions that we might think we just absolutely need. Can you relate to that, Ebony?
It does. I think it. Sometimes we don't realize, you know, it's just like an ache or a pain in my body until it screams at me enough, I don't pay attention to it, and then it's like, oh, what happened? That was that little nag. And so sometimes with legal matters, we may not know where we really can make a difference, or how something actually is affecting us on a day-to-day basis. And so some of the educational forums to be able to come together and meet people on a one-on-one basis and get to know them and what they're about and help inform our decisions is a great opportunity for women, you know, to be able to say, oh, okay, now I can connect the dots to whatever's going on.
And through the year, what we try to do is on the off-election years, we hold a major campaign school, so it helps prepare women to run for office. And then in election years early on, we have screenings and candidate forums, again, where our membership actually votes on who to endorse. And if you go to our website at gkcwpc.org, we have our endorsements listed. So there's a lot of women that we're endorsing at a local level. And the proceeds from this dinner go to support candidate contributions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what, even if you can't write, you know, 20 checks, if you can, you know, come to our dinner, you know that that money is going to go to women who are really going to work for women's rights. You know, they're women who, you know, are pro-choice, who are in favor of education, equal rights for women, equal pay. So you know that your money is going to go to quality candidates.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just happened to think of something. We all probably heard that Phyllis Schlafly died earlier this week. And when you were speaking of people who support the ideals for women's values, what we believe is good for ourselves is to be full participants, to be heard and seen and respected in society. I just mentioned that because, you know, sad as it is, she was 92, 94 years old, but for some reason she stood against everything of the ERA, yet she epitomized a woman who had achieved it all with a master's degree by age 19. She'd worked her whole life. She was an attorney, but yet she stood against women having an equal voice, an equal say.
She was a contradiction, you know, and by working against the ERA, she really set back women's legal rights incredibly. We recently sponsored or co-sponsor for a movie premiere here in Kansas City, Equal Means Equal, that's about the passage of the ERA. And I wasn't quite old enough to be in this first, generation of women with the caucus. So my knowledge of the legal rights of women were kind of shaky, to be honest with you, when I was younger. And that movie really documents what's at stake for women in terms of pay. We're the only industrialized nation in the world that doesn't have paid maternity leave, I believe. I mean, in terms of legal rights, property rights, you look at the rights in terms of, women being sexually assaulted, and, very few people are prosecuted for those crimes, or in the workplace when women are discriminated against. It's hard to believe in this day and age, but it's legal to discriminate against women just because they're women, on the basis of being women. So, may she rest in peace, but Phyllis was not our friend.
She did not do us any favors. No, yeah. She didn't.
And I think it was probably easier for her because she did marry wealthy also, and the Shafley name, I have family in St. Louis. I'm from St. Louis, and her son that has the bar downtown Kansas or St. Louis is pretty liberal. He's a pretty liberal guy, And it's not her son. It's her nephew, I believe. And when he started Shafley Beer, she fought him on that too because she didn't want the name. Now, it's not really her name. It's her married name. So he prevailed, of course. But, I don't know what goes through these people's minds. I don't, But on the Torch Dinner, too, we have an award ceremony, and we tend to, pick women in our community that epitomizes some of the women that have gone before us. We have a Torch Award. We have an Erica S. Fox Pillar Award. She was a true feminist. And then what we do also is a Good Guy Award every year because the caucus, is in business to get more women elected. And so, but we do honor the guys that really support us and are out there working just as hard, for equal rights.
So when we talk about the Good Guy Award in particular, we're looking for men who proactively do something for women and women's rights. So this year it's Mayor Sly James, and he's receiving the award because of his Women's Empowerment Initiative. And some of the details are he's implemented in the City Hall paid maternity leave or parental leave for both men and women, when they have new children. He's also really trying to get more women on boards and commissions. And so that's a great way for women to prepare for running for office, to have a position on a board and so on. So at any rate, so he's a great example of someone who didn't have to do it but went out of his way. He's also encouraging other corporations and entities in town to participate in a screening process. So they go through and self-evaluate their company and look at, realistically where they stand in terms of women's equality. So I think that, again, is, a fantastic thing. It's making people aware of the inequality that they may or may not be aware of that is part of their company policy. So, he's a great example.
And with that, we do need to take a station break. So we are going to take a break, and then we'll be right back to talk more about the Torch Dinner and the caucus.
The following is a test of the Emergency Alert System, brought to you as a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI. Again, the following is only a test of the Emergency Alert System. You just heard was a test from the emergency alert system. It was only a test. In the event of an emergency, it would have been followed with further instructions. Thank you for your patience from 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City.
It's time for the Voodoo Kitten's 9-year anniversary celebration, a benefit for KKFI. Katie Ginn and the girls with the Stonecutters Union will provide the entertainment. Tickets $14 in advance. That's Saturday, September 17th at 8:30 p.m. at Knuckleheads. More info at knuckleheadskc.com. Hope to see all you cat lovers there at this benefit for KKFI.
And we're back with the Women's Political Caucus. Torch Dinner's coming up, 25th annual, September 16, Friday, at the Boulevard Brewery. We have Rebecca Richardson, chair of the caucus currently and past chair of the GKC, Greater Kansas City, and Missouri State, Barb Womack. And you have some other awards besides the Good Guy Award to give out, don't you?
I'm going to talk about the Erica S. Fox Pillar Award. It's going out this year to Sherry Chaney, somebody that is well known, I'm sure, to your station. She is a union activist, retired CWA worker, has worked on so many campaigns I can't even count. She is the one who talked Judy Morgan into running for state rep and was out there every day, taking her door to door. And Sherry is a remarkable woman, and she is very well loved in our community, and we're just so excited that she's getting this award this year.
And another, and Sherry's quite ill now, I understand, too.
She is battling cancer, and she has a great outlook, and she's taking it day to day, and we hope for the best for her.
Thanks to her, I spoke at three national Coalition of Labor Union Women caucuses about women and money because of her inviting me to speak, and traveled to Palm Springs, Seattle, and Detroit. And I have a long connection with Sherry.
She's been such an incredible board member, too. She's been on the board off and on for, I think, a couple of decades. So, I mean, she's always the person you can rely on to get stuff done with no problem and bring people to the table and expose, the word about the caucus. And also to really educate people on the value of unions. So, I think a lot of people don't understand, one of her points is that when it comes to issues of the pay gap, it's like the unions negotiate equally. So women union members make the same as men for the job, for the same work. So that's really incredible. Another person we have this year is the Torch Award. And this goes to a young woman who's who's been politically active and effective. And this year it's going to Alexis Martin, who's with Stand Up KC. And their work is just amazing. I mean, she is, she's the chair of the Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Committee. And what she's doing is helping to organize women fast food workers and working on the $15 an hour minimum wage, and also trying to get a union for fast food workers. So she's really a remarkable young woman in terms of training, workers to advocate for themselves and really to, that movement for $15 an hour is now, it's gone from, that's kind of a joke to being part of the presidential election issues. So I really want to applaud the work that she's done and Stand Up KC and a lot of these different groups who are working for equal wages, because let's face it, when you look at low-wage workers, a lot of it's disproportionately women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at their, and it's also kind of a sweet coincidence, the Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Committee. Fannie Lou Hamer was one of the founders of Women's Political Caucus. So 45 years ago, you know, the namesake of her committee, and if you don't know about Fannie Lou Hamer, she was a slave, or no, I'm sorry, she was a cotton picker on a former plantation, and she went to register to vote and was tossed off out of her home. So she went on to organize, you know, civil rights. She was very active in the civil rights movement and was also one of our organizers for the Women's Political Caucus.
How was she tossed out of her home?
The guy who she was living, you know, on a former plantation, and she had like company housing. And he said, you know, if you go to register for vote, don't come home because you won't have a place to live.
The plantation owner, it
right?
Wasn't
I mean,
her
yeah,
family.
It was past the point of slavery, but it was, you know, a sharecropper kind of situation. She picked cotton in the South. So at any rate, so that's, you know, I mean, incredible when you think about, you know, the things that people have gone through for voting rights. You know, so it's, you know, it's an honor to. Have you know to have that history kind of coming up again in terms of the Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Committee, and just to acknowledge the history of that, and to see what's really great is to see young people take this on and bring it into our current generation.
Yeah, it is amazing. I learned so much doing this show. It's great because I did not know that bit of information about Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're also another group that we're honoring is Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood, they're receiving the Community Service Award. And when you think about, you know, the health services that Planned Parenthood provides, and beyond that, the legal work, I mean, you know, we would not have the legal rights that we have in terms of reproductive health care if it weren't for the lawyers with Planned Parenthood. We wouldn't have the quality health care if it weren't for the doctors with Planned Parenthood. So it's, you know, they get roughed up in the media so much. So it's, you know, we're really, you know, honored to have them accept this award.
So does that cover your awardees this year?
We got one more.
One more?
Cheptu Kosatani Buckner is...
She was just here last week.
Yeah, I actually heard her. At any rate, so she's getting the Excellence in Media Award. So traditionally, this has been to newspaper writers. But as we all know, media has changed so incredibly. Mm-hmm. So this is an acknowledgement of both the work she's done. She was with the public library for 25 years, and now she's the chair of the American Jazz Museum, and she's also ED, I think, of the Jazz Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And also, she's on the board of the Mid-America Black Archives. So both of those organizations are doing incredible work in terms of, when you think about, if you've been to the Jazz Museum, it is the ultimate in multimedia education. You know, there's music, there's visuals, there's history. You know, they've done an incredible job of documenting that important part of Kansas City culture. And then the Mid-America Black Archives, I think they've kind of rescued at the last minute a lot of documents from our community, and again are doing fantastic work in terms of community outreach and education. So it's a real honor to have her coming and accepting the award, too. So it's a kind of new take on that award.
I like that.
I must say, in 2012, you guys gave me the Excellence in Media Award, and I have this lovely little thing in my office, a little statuette sort of thing, and I still fondly recall that. I believe it was 2012. I was so thrilled.
You do good work.
Well, thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Still doing good work.
Well, look at what I've got to surround me with.
I know.
Crew.
We've got our eye on her.
Yeah. And Amy, who's not here today, yes.
If someone wants to be involved with the Women's Political Caucus and just participate, maybe in a volunteer capacity or just find out more information, can you share how a woman sure. or a man can do that?
Yeah, we do, and we do have men members too. It, you know, we have quite a few men members, and we have monthly educational meetings. So we have a full scope. We do nonprofit, just education work. We do issues advocacy, and then we do electoral work. But we have monthly membership meetings. They're usually at All Souls in their main meeting room. But there, we keep our website up to date. It's gkcwpc.org. And in October, we're going to cover the ballot issues. And also, we're going to have another kind of open house on leadership in the caucus. So what we're trying to do is encourage people to come get involved in terms of our committees and board positions. So October, I don't remember the date. I'm sorry, but I think it's 24th or something like that. But anyway, you can check it on our website. But you can just show up for meetings. They're always open to the public. Get a little refreshments. They're usually, we have networking and refreshments 5:30 to 6, and then the program at 6. So you can be home in time for primetime TV if you need to. Or and also, people are welcome to bring their kids. We have a little area where We always welcome kids there. So,
and one more time, we can't tell the price of the tickets, but how to get tickets to the Torch Dinner?
The best way is online, again, at gkcwpc.org. And we will have a few tickets available up to day of. We can't accommodate a flood right at the last minute, but if you'll make your reservations quickly, we'll make sure everybody's included.
And that's
GKCWPC.org.
Yeah,
Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus.
Thank you so much for coming on, Every Woman Today, yes. Barb Womack and Rebecca Richardson, and looking forward to having you back again soon to talk about other issues and other
Maybe
events.
Maybe our new president.
When do you have a new president?
When we have a... When
Hillary.
So sorry. Oh, we're all getting the new president, aren't we? Yeah. Oh, my God. Click in, Sharon. Click in. I thought we were going to have you back because you were electing a new chair of the caucus. Okay. Yes, we'll all look forward to the election being over. And coming into the studio now is Donna Wolf with Urban Connection. And I will tell you all that Every Woman is being preempted for a blues challenge next week. I'm not sure about your show, Donna. Do you know? You hadn't heard that? Well, maybe it'll be over with before your show. I don't know, but I know we're preempted next week. So we'll be back on the 24th with Martha Childers and the Psychology of Money and Women.
Yes.
So we will see you then.
And again, as you mentioned, Donna Wolf is here, so please stay tuned for Urban Connections. And then later, guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. Thank you for tuning in to the Every Woman Show on KKFI.org. Have a great weekend, everybody.